Good Saturday morning and welcome to Sports Talk. I'm Steve Carnell and with you on this Saturday morning. I've been saying beautiful Saturday morning for the last, two or three weeks, but not this morning. Unless you love rain. If you love rain, this is a day for you. If you just want to like chill out and have a reason not to go outside, but just lay around and watch TV all day, whatever it is you want to do, this is your day. The one good thing is it's not too cold. That's the one good thing. Man, we had, 80-degree weather the other day, 81. Was that Wednesday, Tuesday, something like that? I mean, it's unbelievable, the weather. But that's typical for around here. So, anyway, we appreciate you tuning in on this Saturday morning. We have a lot to talk about, have a lot of basketball to talk about. The Lady Tigers and Tigers in tournament play. They were in the district tournament this past week. And then last night over in Jackson, the Lady Tigers were in the first round of the region. The men play tonight. We'll talk more about that with Coach Geyer a little bit later on. Coach Kirk will join us here in just a few minutes. Also, Seth Garner, he got his first start in the weekend rotation over at Memphis and proud of his efforts. He got a no decision, but 5 2/3 innings. I think give up a couple of hits, a run, and had 5 strikeouts. So excited for Seth and his opener, and I'll probably get more starts on the weekend as he moves forward. Also, I talked to Coach Chad Harville last night after the ball game. We were talking about Seth. He went over to watch him play. He said he looked really good. And then he had a pinch hit roll, I think, the next day. Got a hit, so 1-for-1 at the plate. So proud of Seth's start. He'll do well over there for sure. But no decision is good. He had to leave when he left, and the relief let him down. But anyway, congratulations to Seth. Coming up next week, we'll be on location, our spring sports special at Tiffany Jones Realty. And we'll be there at 9 a.m., and we'll have some coaches in. We'll have some interviews with Coach Harville, Coach Patton. They'll be in action on Saturday as the Lady Tiger softball team. They'll have a play date on Saturday. So we'll catch up with Coach Patton and get his thoughts on his team. Also, we'll catch up with Coach Harville. He's trying to get he has a scrimmage scheduled as well with Loretto. So next weekend. So spring sports is here. Let's take a timeout. When I come back, Coach Brandon Kirk is in. We'll talk about the district tournament, the game last night, and then we'll summarize the season as the 2023 season for the Lady Tigers came to an end last night. Back with more sports talk right after this. You're listening to 93.5 FM. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Carnell and with you on this Saturday morning. Appreciate you tuning in to Sports Talk on this rainy Saturday. Just get in your car or whatever and just ride around and listen to Sports Talk. And we'll get you set up for tonight a little bit later on. Coach Geyer will be in and we'll talk about the big game tonight. But first, the Lady Tigers. As Coach Kirk comes in, Coach, let me turn your mic up there. Coach, let's go back to the district tournament. Lexington, I thought, was a really good matchup for us going into that tournament, more so than Chester County or McNary there at the end and playing for that third or fourth spot. But, they had beaten us over here, I think, in overtime. We had them beat, and this couldn't close the deal here. And then they beat us over there. So, you know, usually when you play a team three times, it gets a little bit scary. And You know, defensively, again, you know, that's kind of been a theme. We played well defensively, just couldn't get a whole lot of offense going.
Yeah, that's been the theme for the last several weeks. Is defensively, we've been solid enough to win ball games. Offensively, I thought we actually did a better job of generating open shots and attacking the goal against Lexington. We couldn't find a way to put it in the hole. You get open threes, and then you get shots in the lane, and they don't fall. It makes it tough to win ball games. I mean, defense, and I'm a big defensive guy, but defense only carries you so far. You got to be able to put the ball in the hole at some point, and that's what we've struggled to do for the last several weeks.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you're in a four-team district. I mean, everything you're doing when it comes to district play is just basically playing for seeding.
Yes.
And you have no control of what happens on the other side. And you know, I don't know that being third or being fourth was any consolation, because you're either going south side or you're going south Gibson.
Yeah, third or fourth, it really didn't make that big of a difference as far as the quality of teams you play. And obviously, Southside's bar none the best team in the state. I was talking to their coach before the game, and I was like, "Coach, who could potentially give y'all problems in the state tournament?" And he just, you know, implied that the only people that could give them problems was them. And then South Gibson, I think they beat Lexington last night by 30-ish, 25-30-ish. I can't remember. Beat them handily, I know.
Yeah, it was 57-36 was the final of that one.
So I knew they put it on them pretty good. But so as far as third or fourth, it didn't really make a difference. As like you said, a four-team district, you just play for seeding. Next year, you're playing for a lot more than seeding as we move to – six-team district.
Well, you know, the thing is, the last several games that we played, the kind of the defense that they played against our team is, okay, here's what we're not going to do. We're not going to let Haley beat us outside. That was a given. We're going to face guard her. And it's kind of the same thing on the boys' side, you know, that they do with Wheeler. We're going to face guard her. We're going to take her out of the game. And then if you try to – drive and penetrate, we're going to collapse.
Yeah, that's exactly what they've done. And I was honestly surprised as teams didn't move toward that earlier in the season after Reese got hurt. Is you take away Haley and make someone else beat you, make someone else prove they can handle the ball. And later in the season, that's what teams have started doing is taking away Haley, making some younger, more inexperienced girls prove that they can go around you. That people started pressuring us more, and when people pressure you, there's only one answer to how to handle pressure, and that's when someone gets in your face. You've got to go around them because that creates for everyone else, and that's what we've struggled to do, is to be able to go around our girls one on one, and that's where we're headed to development for off season.
Yeah, do you think that you find it hard for on the ladies' side versus on the men's side to create? You know, last night, you know, they going back to, and we'll talk about Southside here in just a minute, but just watching them last night, they had some players that they could do they could do their own thing, you know. But a lot of times, you know, when you don't have somebody like that, you know, that can't create, then what do you have to do offensively to, okay, we can't do this, but
yeah, you've got to start. You've got to rely on screens and cutters and getting people in advantageous situations. We've got to get good at setting good screens. We went to offense later in the year that relied on, you know, pin down screens and coming up, and a lot of times we would screen air instead of screening people, little things like that that just need refinement. And that's what you got to do when you're not blessed with a skilled ball handler. Because Haley, being honest, Haley's not a true point guard. She would tell you she's not a true point guard. She's a three, and she was forced to be a point guard this year. But that's what you got to do whenever you don't have have people who can create on their own, you've got to find a way to put them in situations to where they have a slight advantage, whether that be running them off screens or running them off cuts. And then from there, they've got to be able to attack closeouts. If you're running at me from 6 feet away, I've got to be able to go around you. There's no substitute for that.
Yeah, and that comes with experience too. And we've talked about that all year long. Even though we had a couple of kids at play, we liked a lot of experience. Yes. And then we got hit with an injury bug with Reese, also Churchill. And then your numbers, kind of decrease at that point. I mean, you didn't have a whole lot of bench to go to or very deep.
No, we were not deep, and that's what I told them. I don't know if I jinxed us into it, but the first game of the season, I wrote up a quote on the board about adversity just because I knew Lawrence County and Tisch were going to be two of the better teams we played all year. And when I was talking about adversity and, how you handle adversity defines who you are, not the adversity itself, didn't realize that we were going to handle the most adversity in a season I've ever been through. But I think by the time you looked at the start of our season to this one, I think four of our top six did not play in last night's game because Clara was also out with strep, and hope she gets to feeling better. Talked to her before the game last night. But like you said, we lost our leader early, lost our two best ball handlers in Reese and Shalana, and then Kinsey mid-season toward the end messed up her elbow pretty good, and she's a defensive presence, and she's also capable of hitting open shots. So we definitely missed all them, and like you said, it cut into our already limited depth.
Yep. Talking to Coach Brandon Kurt, talking Lady Tiger basketball. We'll be back with more. You're listening to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Talking with Coach Brandon Kurt. Kurt, head coach of the Lady Tigers. Me and him both in here just coughing away. Last night, we head over to Jackson Southside, the number one team in the state, 27-0. Looking at the numbers of their average offensive output, our average offensive output, the teams that they played, when you're looking at all the numbers, it was not good for our side, for sure. But, I watched them play, and I think they played in the state finals last year. I watched that game, and they ended up getting beat late. But, the word was this team was better than that team. And then what – was more disheartening when I found out that number four last night is just a sophomore. I thought, goodness gracious, she can play. Number two, I think she's up for Mr. Basketball. Maybe she's a senior.
She is.
They got a little point guard, number one, that can play.
She's young too, I believe.
Yeah, I believe she is too. I think she was a freshman or sophomore last year. But that kid, watching her the couple of times that I've watched her, she really loves to play. I mean, she just plays with a smile on her face, and she's left-handed, and she'll fire it up from anywhere. You don't see girls do that, but she'll step back three or four steps behind the line and fire it up. But, you knew it was an uphill battle last night. I mean, and your girls probably knew that as well. My question is, how do you game plan for that? Because there's no way that you can simulate what they can do in practice with the size and the speed and how they play the game.
Yeah, like you said, there's no way you can simulate the way we attempted to simulate the best we could is we would take our starting five out there and we would put every other kid that was in our program out there in a 2-2-1 press and say, go trap the ball. Like you don't even have rules. Just go run and be physical. Go foul them if you want to. just go trap and be overly aggressive, trying to get our girls tough to handle that, to be able to handle that, but to be able to meet the passes. Because if you don't, and you saw it last night, if you don't meet passes against them, they're taking it 10 times out of 10. You've got to go step. I'm not talking about just one or two steps as fast as they are. You've got to go toward that pass several feet just to have a chance to get it the way they fly around. And like you said, there is no simulation for that. There's no girl we have in our program has ever even seen that other than Haley. That's what me and Coach were talking about yesterday. We said they're in for an eye-opening experience because they've never seen that basketball other than Haley. And we knew, like you said, that it was an uphill battle to say the least. And we just harped on effort and going out there and competing all week, and playing for the seniors, because that's the last time they'll ever get to put that jersey on and play. And there's no better feeling than putting on that jersey in high school. I don't care if you go on to college and play or not, it's not the same. There's no better feeling. And I told him, I was like, I don't know when it's going to hit you, but it's going to hit you, and then all you're going to want to do is come back. And then if you like me and Coach, that's how you end up in our seat, is because all you want to do is come back and be where they were.
Yeah, it was, and you're right. We haven't seen anything like that. That's one of the thing that me and Bill talked about throughout the game and pre-game and post-game. We didn't see anything like that. They can play, but if you're going to be that caliber team, you got to figure out how to get the players and how to play that type of team, because we played South Gibson last year. South Gibson was really good and ended up winning that game over there. And then, got into the sub-state. South Gibson was shocked at that game because it put them out. But looking at the scores between the way they play, which wasn't a whole lot different than the way we played, them and Southside battle, I mean, if you go back and look at this year's scores, I mean, it's 1-point game, 2-point game, both times, home and away for those two teams. So it's not that it's undoable. I think the one thing is you've got to get over the shock of what you're seeing and not get too caught up in what they're trying to do and just play your game. Now, saying that is easy when you're sitting on the sideline. But, I was just kind of curious of how you get your girls ready for something like that. And then last night at halftime, I mean, what can you say? I mean
that's been a new spot for me this year, is like, what do you tell them at half? And that's just you harp on competing, you harp on giving effort, which they did. And you tell them, like, okay, you run off the screen if you see daylight in that type of game. You fire that up when you see daylight. Not saying taking a heavily contested shot, but if you come off a screen and you've got daylight to shoot, don't be scared to shoot. And then attack when you can. Don't be scared of them when they get in your grill. Go around them, make them have to pick you up in the lane. If they block your shot, they just block your shot. That's just part of it. And main thing was go out there with energy and effort and play for each other. Don't play for us. Play for each other. Play for the seniors if you're an underclassman. If you're a senior, play for the girl next to you, because it's the last 16 minutes at halftime that you're ever going to get. And that's what they did. There was no quit in them, and they knew what kind of uphill battle that was going to be. And I just proud of them for competing and giving effort. That's something I haven't had to worry about, is a lack of effort here lately.
Yeah, I was proud of them too. They fought, and then the girls that got to come in, all through the game, they fought hard. They did the best that they could do. Just overmatched, number one. But, I was thinking at the end of the game last night, as we were doing our post-game stuff, and the one thing that I noticed from this team and from these girls and these seniors, they're good kids. And that means more, really, than than the wins and the losses. They're good kids. They're smart kids. They're in the tops of their class. A couple of them are going on to do other things in college. I was listening to Bill last night as he was reading about Ashton Davis. She's going on to play volleyball, I believe, at Bethel. And so congratulations to her on that. And, you know, yes, high school's fun, and it's a lot of work and a lot of effort, not only by the kids, by the coaching staff, by parents, grandparents, family, and the support that they get. I was looking at the numbers last night, just on the internet alone, you know, it peaked out like 79 listeners on that, and that's not including radio and stuff like that. You know, for a game that, you know, was going to be a tough game, the interest of of the community that was listening to that ball game last night, so you get a couple hundred people or, you know, listening in various ways. But, you know, it's been fun, you know, in a way, watching this team kind of grow, and they've had their ups and downs. They had a really good run in the middle. They played some good basketball. They played some good halves. And, you know, the last several weeks has kind of been tough. But, you know, it's a growing experience. It's an experience that they won't ever have. But they can always look back, especially the seniors,
yes,
that they can look back and go, hey, we won a lot of basketball games while I was here. I got to go to the state tournament, the whole deal. So they had a lot in their back pocket.
Yeah, they did. And then you talk about the community. And then me and Coach were talking about this as we walked into Southside too. And you forget how blessed we are sometimes with not just the best kids in the state, but it's facility wise and community support. Like you look at, and there's no knock on Southside by any means, but you know their boys and girls played in the state championship, or went to state tournament last year, and you look at their facilities and look at ours, and it's not even comparable. And then same thing with community support. We could win 25 games, we could win two games, and we're going to have the same support here. And that tends to get taken for granted when that's just what you're used to until you go other places and see how it is. And we're just very blessed with community support, very blessed with, you know, administrative support and great facilities, and above all, blessed with great kids. That's one thing that we have very, very, very limited headaches throughout the years due to the type of kids we have. We've got high character kids that you look up, and the end of the game last night, whenever the seniors were out and the underclassmen were in, and I think Molly Pierce scores, and every one of the seniors standing up clapping. That's the little stuff that tells you, you know, they'll be successful at life, because at the end, I tell them all the time, basketball, the game of basketball is just it's a privilege that you get to play that. And at the end of the day, it is just a game, but it does set you up for life, and you watch how they handle adversity the same way you're going to handle adversity in life. And you know, if I look up every one of these seniors in 10 years, without a doubt, everyone's going to be successful doing whatever their heart desires.
All right, we'll look at some scores from, excuse me, from last night. And we'll wrap up the 2023 season when we return. You're listening to Sports Talk on 93.5 FM. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Let's take a look at some scores from last night. South Gibson defeated Lexington 57-36. And let me see, Chester County over Liberty 71-39. And, of course, our Southside game we know, McNary Central 56, Northside 21. So McNary Central, Chester County, they will move on, and Lexington and Hardin County bows out. Kind of, Coach, real quick, now that the season's over with, I'm sure you hadn't had really a whole lot of time to think about everything, but, you know, kind of summarize a little bit about your first year, you know, as a head coach and the season that was, and, you know, what you're hoping for as you move forward.
It's been a learning experience, and it's been a lot of adversity from an injury standpoint. You know, barring injuries, I thought we were set up to be very successful with what we were doing. And then, you know, adversity hit, and just like I tell the kid, it's how you handle adversity. Well, that goes for not just them; that goes for the coaching staff too. And it's been a learning experience. Like I tell the kids all the time, there's only been one perfect man on this planet, and I'm not it, and they aren't it, and none of us are. But, you know, immediately you sit and you reflect on it, and you're thankful for, again, a good group of kids. That's one thing that we take for granted so often is how great of kids we have. We might not be the most skilled, the most talented, or anything, but if we were giving out trophies for great kids, we'd win hands down. And I feel for all the seniors, you know, just having to handle that adversity, knowing if we stay healthy, that, you know, we have a strong shot to win the district and then move on from there. But, you know, that's just, you know, you control what you can control, and that was out of our hands, and they handled it well, and that's all you can ask is from them, from our coaching staff, from everyone. And then it's, you know, now we start moving on looking to build the next year. That's where we go immediately is starting to build for next year, because this is really be the first off season I've ever had with these girls, because we got such a late start last year. So I'm looking forward to having a good off season with them.
Well, I appreciate you coming in on Saturday mornings, and then I know your wife appreciates us being able to do this over the phone. She didn't know that was available. I probably should have never started that. I could have got you out of the house.
I know. I enjoyed my time out of the house.
Yeah, well, that was my bad right there. I was trying to save you some gas money. But gas is down a little bit, so, you know. But anyway, I appreciate you coming in on Saturday mornings and talking basketball with us, and we wish you the best of luck moving forward.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me.
All right, we'll talk to Coach Ryan Geyer. He'll step in. We'll talk about his game, the championship game with McNary last week, and then a big game tonight for the Tigers as Northside will be in town. More Tiger basketball talk when we return. You're listening to Sports Talk on 93.5 FM. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Ryan, when's the last time that you've heard Rock Lobster by the B-52s? I just pulled it up. There it was. I said, I got to play it. Do what? Do what now?
I said, I never know what you may play. Sometimes it's 90s. Sometimes it's Rock Lobster. Sometimes it's Van Halen. I don't know. I got an array of playlists right here. It makes my day. I get surprised by what I get introduced to. So yeah, I guess that's good or bad, whatever way you want to take it.
But yeah, you got introduced by the B-52.
Well, there you go.
So, Rock Lobster. Welcome this morning. Good Saturday morning for you. Got a game tonight. Let's go back to the championship game over at Chester County as we play McNary County. For the third time in, what, eight or nine days, number one. That's kind of tough in its own. We had some success with them, beat them pretty handily over here, had one of our best offensive outputs, beat them over there, got off to a fast start, they kind of looked down. Their body language wasn't good. Talking to the radio people, they said, it's, you know, it's been a tough year. And I got to talk to I talked to Nate Moore one night, and he said, you know, it's just been a tough year for them and wasn't what they wanted to do. And you could kind of read it in their body language that night. We get a win over there. Then we get into tournament time, and anything happens in tournament time. Anything happens. And if that holds true, it's held true in our side and the other side mm-hmm. of the region. So McNary gets a big win over Chester County. Chester County had beaten them twice as well. They get hot, and then they continue that hot shooting against us. But, you know, going into that game, number one, what is it you tell your kids, first of all, say, hey, I know we beat them twice, but that doesn't matter right now to kind of get them, I guess, mentally ready to play a team that they've beaten twice and hopefully not come out flat, and hopefully they don't come out hot. And it kind of worked that way in the beginning. We kind of came out a little bit flat, and then they started knocking threes down early.
Yeah, they did. You know, going back to Saturday when we played Lexington in the semifinals, that was a real, I say, emotional game, but that was a game we really wanted to win, number one, just because we had split with Lexington in the regular season, and it was a chance for us to go to the championship and also get another home game for our seniors. And so that was a really big game that we were able to win. It was a hard-fought game, but we came out on top. So then, you know, as soon as that's over, we just watched McNary and Chester, and McNary explodes for 86 points, and you're sitting there thinking, is this what it's going to be on Tuesday night? And, you know, going into the year, I remember telling Mr. Shirley for the paper, he was asking about the other teams, and I told him I thought McNary was going to be a really hard team to beat. Just because they can score the ball so well. And anyway, they had, like you said, they've had some ups and downs, and but I knew they were a really good team, and you saw that Saturday. And so going into Tuesday, coming off beating them twice, you know, you try to prepare your kids for that. And that old adage, it's hard to beat a team three times, and all those sayings. And you know, also playing it being the district championship makes it even a higher state game, obviously. And so you try to prepare, and I think we were prepared. They just stayed hot from Saturday night. They came out. Nate Moore hit a couple shots early. We missed a few, and then we battled back in it in the second quarter. And, you know, I thought we kind of controlled their run. I knew they would make one. And when they make one or two, it's like they make eight or nine. I mean, I've watched them all year, seen them on film, played them three times. They can shoot it as well as any team we've played, and so they're a scary team in that aspect of it. But you know, so they came out hot. We battled back and made it. I think it was a 1-point game going into half. So we held their run, and Coach and I are going into half saying, "Man, they hit some tough shots, and we're only down one." So you know, we were feeling good about where we wanted to be, and we came out in the second half, and they said a back and forth game, and they made a few more plays than we did at the end of the day. And you know, to give them credit, they played well at the right time, and won both games as a four seed. But you know, they're a good basketball team, and I've tried not to speculate a lot about that game.
Yeah.
And all that, so I try to put it in the past and move on, but because it's a tough one, I wanted it for our seniors and for our kids. I felt like we had played well enough all year and done the stuff we needed to do to be in the chance to win it, and we were, and we just came up a little short.
Well, it was one of those games where we just, I don't know how to put it, we just couldn't kind of get out of our way. We would get close, do some really good things, and then we would turn around, turn it over, whatever. It was just one of those type games. We never could hit that shot. I think the third quarter coming out is what hurt us. If I counted right, we missed at least 10 point-blank shots. We missed 8 to start the third quarter. I mean, that's 16 points right there. We hit those shots, and we started defending them better, shut more down in the second half. You're looking at a double-digit win again. But we did, you know, for some reason, sometimes, you know, the hardest shot is the one when you're right there at the glass, and we just couldn't do it. And, you know, and two, like you said, they had some momentum coming into that game, and they continue that. And when they started, they're streaky, and when they started getting on a good streak, you could tell they just built and built off of that. The question I have in watching that game and being on that end of the court the other night offensively in the second half, when you got Wheeler and you've got him out at the three-point line, usually down in the corner, and they face-guarded him all night long, that was their defensive game plan going in. So when you do that, you know, sometimes people go, okay, well, Wheeler just stood over there and he wasn't trying to do, you know, get open. That's not the case all the time, because you have a decision that you have to make as a coach. Do we keep him over there and keep a defender away? You're just kind of seeing how they're going to play him as we drive and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, you know, like you said, there's been teams defend him like that this year. McNary, the first two games, did not do that. So that was an adjustment he made. And he put Tanner Kirk on him, who is 6'3", long athlete. And so, you know, when Lexington did that the other night, we posted Wheeler up. And I know three times he caught it on the block and scored. One time got an and one. So I'm sure McNary was watching that on Saturday and getting prepped for that. But, you know, like you said, it's kind of pick your poison when people guard you like that. But like the sentence you said before, we missed some shots point blank in the lane, which is what you want. You want to get paint shots. And we just didn't convert on some of those that we had the opportunity to that would have made them pay for guarding him like that. You know, Tanner Davis had 17. JT Smith had 16. They stepped up and took advantage of that. Caleb McGee had double digits, but we just missed a few in the lane that we've made throughout the year, and that's basketball. That happens, and that's why in a one-game tournament, it's not always necessarily the best team, but who plays the best on that given night. And anyway, you know, you learn from it, move on from it, but we played well enough to win. I mean, we shot over 50% from the floor. I think they got a few calls in their favor that kind of changed the momentum at times also, and kind of flipped when every time we went on a run, like you said, it was like something happened, turnover or a foul call or jump ball, loose ball, whatever it may be. And they were just able to capitalize off of it, and they played well. They're a good team. They started off the year really hot and then kind of struggled, played one of the toughest schedules in West Tennessee, and then you know, it prepared them for that. And when Nate Moore's hot, it opens up everything for their offense. And I think he had 54 points in the tournament. So, you know, it's part of it.
Just one of those things. But Tanner Davis had a really good game. I wanted to mention that. We talked about that last night. Not only offensively, but defensively, he was really the spark that we needed. JT played really well, too, and had a good game. You know, and then you look at everybody's averages. You know, Wheeler was down, Jackson was down in his points. And, you know, for Jackson, too, you know, this is his first district tournament game or championship-type game in the atmosphere. And for a freshman, I think there's probably some adjustments that you have to do. And man, what great experience to take away from that, from all your young guys that got to play in that game as well.
Right. Yeah, you know, Jackson, his scoring was a little down in that game, but he had 7 assists, so he found a way to make up for it in that aspect. Like I said, JT stepped up, Tanner stepped up. He had 12 rebounds in that game too. So, like I said, we played well enough to win the game. It really came down to a few plays here, there, and they made a few more than we did. Made more timely shots, got a timely loose ball, just little stuff. And but we played hard. They were prepared for us, and they were playing with I say no pre, not that they didn't have pressure, but when you're the four seed, you just upset the one seed at home, and it's like, okay, you know, now the pressure's not on us, and that's how they played. And you know, give credit to them and Coach Riley over there. They played well. You know, we came up a little short, but I thought we played well enough to win it. And it's one of those things. It's basketball.
That's exactly right. It's just basketball. I think the telling number of that game, though, was 22-5. And what I'm talking about, you don't have to, I will, is the fouls, 22 fouls that were called on the Tigers to 5 in a high school basketball game that was played basically man-to-man defense with a lot of physical contact on each side. This seemed like – I remember Bill talking about that game, and he said, well, they're really letting them play tonight. And my response was, no, they're not. They're letting them play tonight. We're not getting to play the same game that they're getting to play. And it was evident that I think – I don't know that we went to line just a few times in that game.
Shot five free throws.
And then, of course, some of those fouls, like three or four of those, was in the 1-1, trying to get them on the line. But still, in high school game, the dispersion of fouls, that's way too much in a high school game. That's just my opinion, but, you know, what I know. Got a big game tonight. Northside coming to town. We'll talk about that. We're talking with Coach Ryan Guy. We're talking Tiger basketball. Back after this.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom.
Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm looking at all this coaching gear y'all got on. I don't have anything like that.
You wear too much Tennessee.
I'm just saying. Well, that's all I got. Well, I mean, when you look in your closet, and most of the stuff that you have, pullovers, has a T on it or orange. I mean, you know, I got a lot of maroon, too. Yep. But, you know, it is Saturday, and Tennessee, speaking of Tennessee, they got a game today, South Carolina, right here on 93.5 FM. A big sports day right here on 93.5, as always. As they'll lead us up to tonight's game as Northside comes to town. Northside comes to town 20-6, Ryan, and looking at some of their games this year and just looking inside the numbers, it should be, if everything works out numbers-wise, what they average and what we average offensively, should be a pretty close game tonight.
It should be. Northside's a very solid basketball team. They started off the year really hot, and then as it got close to district play, played some really good competition. And their district was kind of like ours. They ended up as a 2 seed at 4-2, but they won 2 games by 1 point against Southside and South Gibson. And South Gibson was the 3, and Southside was a 1, and Liberty was 4. And then South Gibson and Liberty both win in the district tournament. And so it's one of those years where anybody can really beat anybody on our side. And, you know, been able to watch them, had somebody go scout them for us on Monday night. Against when they played Southside, and trying to pick up some stuff of what they do. And they're going to be a good team. They're athletic, quick. They've got a big kid that's about 6'6", athlete. I just stumbled upon my words. Athletic. They've got a guard that can really play. And they're going to be a solid team. The guy that's coaching there, Coach Woods, he was at Liberty when they were in our district, so we kind of know each other and what he does and some of that stuff. But, you know, they're a good team. I think we're well prepared to play them. Some of the competition we played early in the year has helped that. Dyer County, Lawrence County, Corinth, that's why you play those games. And it should be a good one. I think we're going to have a really big home court advantage tonight and pack the place out. And, you know, like I told our guys, I said, we got a chance to do something we hadn't done in a really long time, and that's win a region game. Our goal going into the year was to host a region game and then win the district, and then win a region game. And we accomplished one, got beaten the other, but still have a chance to accomplish the third and move on. And that's, like I said, that's something we've not done in a really long time. I know we've only hosted – this will be the fourth time we've hosted a region game, I know, in the past 25 years. So going back to Coach Gilchrist, and I know he had some really good teams back in the 90s and 80s. And anyway, so we've got a chance to do something that we hadn't done in a while, and I think we're prepared now. You got to go out there and play and do it.
What do you think, or what should we expect as fans coming in from Northside defensively?
They'll pressure the ball more than our district teams have. They'll mix up what they do in the press, but they're going to try to pressure it, turn you over, get out and transition. And in the half court, they'll pressure the ball. The big kid is a good shot blocker inside, so they kind of funnel everything to him. But it'll be similar to the Corinth or a Dyer County that we played earlier in the year, something similar to that, more pressure than we've seen in the past few weeks, but not something we hadn't seen all year. So, you know, just getting prepped for that. And then offensively, they've got a couple of big guys they like to post up. And then number three, their point guard, he's a good player. He can pull up and hit from anywhere. And the rest of their guards are going to try to attack and get in the lane. So, you know, it'll be more up-tempo probably than our district games were. But, like I said, something that we've not seen. It's not that we hadn't seen it this year. It's just not been what we've seen recently. So, you know, it's what I tell our kids. I said, you either got it now or you don't. If you don't have it by February, what's today, the 25th, you're not going to have it. So we understand what we need to do. Now it's just about going out there and doing it. And like I said, playing at home is a huge advantage. And hopefully we have a huge crowd there tonight to support us. And then if we can win tonight, you're playing one game to go to the region championship and to sub-state against either the Lexington or South Gibson winner. So, you know, we've got a chance to win and move on, and that's all you can ask for at this time of year.
7 p.m. tip tonight at Michaela Welch Gymnasium, and we want everybody out there. We want it to be packed, loud, and welcome Northside to town. They haven't been here in a while, an old foe, but they haven't been in town in quite some time. So we want everybody out there. If you can't make it out there, of course, you can listen right here on 93.5 FM with me and Bill Sharp. We'll have the call, WKWXFM.com, the WKWX app. Excited about tonight's game. Excited about the Tigers being home. And, Ryan, kind of looking at this deal, if you're just looking at this this satellite game across our region, you think, man, I tell you what, you know, playing for that first and second spot didn't work out too well. I mean, it'd been better to play for third and fourth if you're looking at, you know, record-wise. I know Southside is young, but they've won some good games. They've had a tough schedule, but McNary ends up with them. Southside 5-15, I don't think records are going to matter. Lexington having to go to South Gibson, that looks like record-wise that's probably going to be a pretty good matchup. Right there, and then Chester County is getting Liberty. So Liberty beat Northside.
Right.
So it's kind of a weird deal. So you know,
yeah, it's a throw it up one night and play. Nobody's that much better than anybody else. Where you just walk in, show up, and win. And so you got to play like Chester. Chester's played Liberty twice and beat them twice this year. And at our meeting the other day, I was talking to their coach, and he said, he's nervous because they had beat McNary twice. McNary beats them. You know, we beat McNary twice. It's just one of those years. And last year, you know, you had a Southside who was the juggernaut and went to the state championship, and that's who everybody feared. And this year, it's like, who knows? I mean, on any given night, anybody can beat anybody. You see it in both district tournaments. The 3-seed one over there, the 4-seed one ours. So you got a chance to win and move on, and that's all you can ask for at this time of year. And I hope our kids don't take that for granted, because you never know when you have that chance. So, you know, I'd take playing at home than playing any other team on the road. I'd take that for sure, even if somebody's record may be a little bit better. But anyway, it'll be a good one. It'll be a fun game, fun atmosphere. Come out and support us. Like I said, Northside has not been here in a while, probably since I was in high school when they were still in our district for a few years. So it'll be a – traveling an hour and 10 minutes for a Jackson school is like traveling to Knoxville
for us.
So
I know.
It'll be an advantage for us, and hopefully we can capitalize on it.
Well, we're also seeing the new district taking Liberty out, taking South Gibson out, but – Southside, Northside coming into the district next year. So you six teams are in action tonight.
Right.
Moving forward.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's a great thing that's happening, having them two come in. But anyway, I was thinking about that last night. I said, oh, good gosh. When I found out number four for them last night was a sophomore, I said, we got to deal with this for two more years. I mean, you were at that game last night in – if you've seen a kid, a sophomore like her, that can play like that in a while.
When we walked out, and I said, who is that? Standing down that she was shooting on the other end. And, yeah, she'll be a force for two. She's already a force. And
who you take, Skylar or her one-on-one?
I'll lean Skylar, but she's a –
she's a taller version of what Skylar can do.
Yeah, they're very similar style players. Yeah. But she's a really good player. Yeah, it's.
I'm not so sure I wouldn't want her on my guys team. So, because I mean, she could do it. She, I don't know. You just had to see it. So I can tell you. But all that's behind us. Tonight's a big game. Northside in town. The Indians come into the jungle at Michaela Welch Gymnasium. 7 p.m. tip. Fill up the house. Be loud. Be proud. As we welcome Northside to town tonight for round one of the region. I know you boys have got to go and get ready for a shoot around and do some things tonight. I want to remind everybody our sports special next week at Tiffany Jones Realty. And we'll preview baseball, basketball. I've got the whole sports schedule. Let's see, tennis starts, soccer. Man, that's always weird to see. Boys soccer, track, and, of course, our Lady Tigers softball team and baseball as well. And then, you know, I mentioned to Brandon at the start in the introduction, I don't know if you heard it, Seth had a good outing last week for Memphis, got a no decision. Talked to Coach Harville last night after the game, and he went over and watched, said he did an outstanding job. But I think he went 5 2/3, give up a few hits, a run, and had five strikeouts.
Yeah. It wasn't streamed. I looked for it on Sunday, but was keeping up with it. Listened to Greg Gaston on the radio a little bit. But he comes out of the game. I think they were up either 6 or 7-1. So I was like, man, you know, he'll get his first win. And I get back on Twitter and see, and it was in extra innings, so I hate that for him, but a really good first outing. Just impressive to be a weekend starter on as a true freshman in your first week. So he'll have a really good career there, and I'm just glad he's a Memphis Tiger. That makes it even better. So
he looked better in orange.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Well, not everybody looks better in orange.
I look pretty good in orange.
Well, you do. It's hard to compare to that. That's right.
Hey, we wish you the best of luck tonight. Looking forward to it. And maybe we can push you through this one and head over to Chester County and get ready for a regional.
That's right. I may just have to put a bed at Chester County. I feel like we've been over there 10 times in the past month.
Bill was talking about how – tired the teams would be or look because of or not look, but we've been on the road a lot. Mm-hmm. I thought he was talking about us. I can't remember the last time we've been at home. It's been a while.
And we've been at what, we go to Chester 4 days for the tournament. We had to go to a meeting 2 other days, and then anyway played them a couple weeks ago there. Anyway, I lost track, but I'm glad we're at home tonight.
Yes, sir. All right, Northside, Hardin County tonight, 7 p.m. tip at Michaela Webb's Gymnasium. You can hear it all right here on 93.5 FM. Go out and support the Tigers. Fill up the house. If you can't, we got it right here for you on 93.5 FM. Coming up this afternoon, Tennessee basketball, Tennessee, South Carolina. And like I said, Northside and Hardin County at 7 p.m. That'll do it for us on Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM, WKWXFM.com, and the WKWX app. I hope you have a great Saturday. Thanks to Lily over at the station. And coming up this afternoon, Tennessee and South Carolina right here on 93.5 FM. So a big day of basketball here on 93.5 FM. Enjoy your Saturday. Go Vols and go Tigers. You've been listening to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM.